America right now has the strongest, most durable economy in the world. We're in the middle of the longest streak of private sector job creation in history. More than 14 million new jobs, the strongest 2 years of job growth since the 1990s, an unemployment rate cut in half. Our auto industry just had its best year ever. That's just part of a manufacturing surge that's created nearly 900,000 new jobs in the past 6 years. And we've done all this while cutting our deficits by almost three quarters. Anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Michael Snyder of the Economic Collapse blog. Enjoy the show. Give us a little heads up on what would be the economic ramifications if World War III were to pop off.
Yeah, well, if we were to see a conflict, if Saudi Arabia and Turkey go in and they start fighting, because if Saudi Arabia and Turkey go in, the goal will be to go to Damascus, take down the Assad regime, and basically the removal of Assad would be the goal. And so would the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah just stay there and say, okay, you can come in, we're not going to fight back, we're going to let you go have Assad? No, if they started going for Damascus, I believe the Russians and Iranians and Hezbollah would fight back. And the Russians even could potentially use tactical nuclear weapons to keep them from getting to Damascus. Basically we could be looking at an eruption of World War III. If that happened, financial markets all over the world would crash. The price of oil would probably shoot through the roof, and we would just see tremendous, tremendous chaos. Especially if the Russians used tactical nuclear weapons, those headlines would just send markets. We would see markets crash. I mean, records would be set all over the planet instantly if that happened. But what we see right now, and it's not being really reported in the mainstream media in the United States, but in northern Saudi Arabia, they're gathering troops from 20 different countries. Most of them are very strong Sunni Islamic nations, and is being billed as the largest military exercises in the history of the Middle East. Now, the numbers that were being reported by Saudi media were 350,000 soldiers, 20,000 tanks, 2,450 warplanes, and 460 military helicopters. Now, for training exercises, that seems like a tremendous amount of overkill. Meanwhile, forces are massing along the border between Turkey and Syria, forces, and of course, over the last several days, Syria has been shelling Kurdish positions and Syrian government positions in northern Syria, and Turkey has actually gone into across the border in Syria, has set up a refugee camps there for refugees streaming north toward Turkey, and where Syria has actually set up positions in northern Syria to house these refugees. And so there's all kinds of chatter, and Saudi Arabia and Turkey are making all sorts of threats. And in fact, the Saudi Arabia, their foreign minister came out and said that Assad is going to leave either by a political process or he will be removed by force. That's a quote from him. And so there's a lot of concern that, and a lot of rumors going around that Saudi Arabia and Turkey are getting ready. Turkey from the north and Saudi Arabia, they would come up through western Iraq and then into southern Syria, that they're going to conduct a massive invasion and try to take out Assad and basically, you know, take control of the situation in Syria. And the Russians and Iranians and Hezbollah are very wary of what could happen. So, yeah, this is a scenario which I believe could very, very easily lead to World War III.
And we've put some good roads and resupply stations in Iraq over the past 10 years too. So they'll have nice highways to get their tanks and troops there on. And on the other note, tanks and MRAPs and all those types of things, they get horrific gas mileage. So maybe this will help to suck up some of that oil glut.
Yeah, and then of course if you know the war erupts, and then you know what will the Russians, you know, if they're engaging in Turkish forces, will they start bombing air bases in Saudi Arabia and then Turkey? And Turkey's a member of NATO. Would then, you know, NATO be, you know, need to get involved, or you know what would happen there? I mean, it could so easily escalate completely out of control. And so, yeah, it would definitely send the price of oil shooting back through the roof. But see, you know, a lot of people say, wow, would Saudi Arabia and Turkey want to invade? Well, for years, Saudi Arabia and Turkey have been funding and arming insurgent Sunni insurgent groups inside Syria, including ISIS. And the goal was to overthrow the Assad regime, and basically then the Saudi Arabia and Turkey and the Sunni nations would come in and turn Syria into a full-blown Sunni nation. So that was kind of the goal. And at first it was working. ISIS and the other insurgent groups, they were taking over cities, steadily gaining ground. It looked like the Syrian government was going to lose. Assad was doomed. But then Assad brought in the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah. And now the tide of the war has totally turned. The Syrian government with their allies, they're taking ground all over the place. The militant groups are on the verge of total defeat. Aleppo, the largest city in Syria, is about to fall back into the hands of the Syrian government. That would be a huge victory. And so Turkey and Saudi Arabia are watching this happen. And now they're saying, well, you know, we're not going to get our original goal of turning it into a full-blown Sunni nation, but instead what's going to happen if it ends now? Well, Iran and Hezbollah are going to be in there. They're going to become the dominant forces in Syria, and they're going to, you know, try to turn Syria into a Shiite nation, which is, you know, and the end result would be far worse than if they had never tried to overthrow Assad in the first place. And so, in my perspective, Arabia and Turkey are not going to be willing to walk away, and they certainly don't sound like it with what they've been saying over the past few. But the only way they're going to be able to salvage things now is to go in there and do it themselves, which could threaten direct military conflict with the Russians, the Iranians, and basically, you know, start World War III right there in the Middle East. So hopefully Saudi Arabia and Turkey will not do this. But as we mentioned, there's tremendous forces massing in Turkey along the southern border, and then in northern Saudi Arabia, the largest gathering of military exercises in the history of the Middle East. So I'm alarmed by this, but of course we're hearing next to nothing about this in the mainstream media in the United States.
And a lot of folks they'll be very concerned about one thing or the other. And the reality is sometimes you just get these perfect storms where everything comes together at once. You know, the Great Depression, we had the Great Depression and the Dust Bowl all hit at once. And it was horrific. And, you know, so we can have a collapse of the international banking system and World War III erupt all at one time, because and they sort of feed on one another as well, because it's just making the powers that be that much more nervous and edgy and territorial and defensive about their resources. So it's sort of a negative feedback loop that gets created with that. Now, with the talk of the cashless societies, negative interest rates, and all of that, gold had a nice run, but it's been beaten back down a little bit. Would you consider taking advantage of one of these gold market slaughter fests to stock up on the historic currency?
Well, I would, because as we move into these times ahead with global financial chaos, potentially war in the Middle East, else going on, this perfect storm that's emerging, what's going to go up is gold and silver and other precious metals. And it happened during the last financial crisis. It's going to happen again. Now, you know, in terms of trying to hit short-term swings, that's not what I'm kind of a big believer in. Gold and silver, I think, is something for the long term. I've always said that because I've always told people there's going to be big ups and big downs. And we've seen, like, silver, man, it really went down, for a while there. And so I told people, you know, hey, if you're going to get into precious metals, you got to be able to hit the ups and the downs and be in it for the long term. And so for the long term, yeah, I think gold is great, but I think personally, my wife and I, we absolutely love silver. We think it's tremendously, incredibly undervalued. So yeah, we could see gold double in price, but we could see silver quadruple in price in the coming years very easily. Because, you know, historically, the ratio of the gold price to silver price is much closer than it is now. I mean, it's really blown out in recent years. So, and, you know, in terms of, the ratio of what gold and silver coming out of the ground is, you know, some people say 9 to 1, 10 to 1, 12 to 1, whatever it is. But, you look at the ratio now in terms of the price of silver to gold. I mean, it's just, you know, it's gigantic in terms of the ratio. So I think we're going to see a great narrowing of that ratio at some point. And then, of course, silver is used in thousands of common consumer products. Gold isn't because it's so expensive. So the amount of silver in the world is continuing to use up. And there's so many other reasons why, yeah, we like gold, but silver we absolutely, think is just going to be wonderful for protecting your wealth moving forward.
And what about the global banks? We've been talking a lot about Deutsche Bank. How are they doing? And also maybe talk about the Italian banks. Are these guys in trouble?
Yeah, in Italy they have all these non-performing loans. You know, it's a fancy word basically for saying bad debt. They made all these loans and now they're just swamped with bad loans. In your report, you know, some reports say it's even the amount of bad loans is like basically could potentially even be bigger than the size of the entire Italian economy. I mean, it just they're failing, they're coming apart, their stock prices are collapsing. You know, basically all the biggest banks in Italy are going to need a bailout, going to need to be rescued. And you know, we saw what trouble Greece caused. They're the 44th largest economy on the planet. Italy is the 8th. You know, so how is the EU going to fix what's going on in Italy? It's a complete and utter nightmare. Meanwhile, Deutsche Bank, the largest bank in the largest economy in Europe, you know, the most important bank in Germany by far, well, you know, they've had all kinds of problems. They just announced a $7 billion loss for 2015, I think it was. But, you know, they're coming apart at the seams. Their stock price has fallen. At one point, it was even lower than it was at any point during the 2008 crisis just here recently, and although it kind of rebounded a little bit since then. But, yeah, their stock price has been steadily falling for quite a while now, but it's just really accelerated, and they're the cost of insuring, their credit default swaps are just shooting through the roof. I mean, every indicator, and in fact, if you look at a stock chart of Deutsche Bank and compare it to a stock chart of Lehman Brothers just before the collapse of Lehman Brothers, they're so eerily similar, it's crazy. So yeah, the biggest bank in Germany appears to be coming apart at the seams. It's failing. And it's got one of the frightening thing is it's got one of the biggest derivatives exposures in the entire world. Estimates put it over $50 trillion of exposure to derivatives that Deutsche Bank has. It's absolutely crazy. But yeah, the most important bank in the biggest economy in Europe is coming apart at the seams. Banks in Italy, but of course all over Europe, the big banks are in massive problems. You know, we're basically seeing a too-big-to-fail crisis in Europe, just like we did over in the United States the last time. It's happening in Europe right now. The entire banking system's coming apart at the seams, and I believe we're just in the early chapters. So people need to hold on, because I believe we're looking at the initial stages of a full-blown financial meltdown of the European banking system.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proven to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on gold and silver. Check out silver.com today.
In Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, Daniel Walker begins having prophetic dreams. Through one of his dreams, Daniel learns of an imminent threat of an electromagnetic pulse attack which will wipe out America's electric grid, sending the country into a technological dark age. If they want to live, Daniel and his friends must focus on faith, wits, and preparation to be ready before the lights go out. Buy your copy of Seven Cows, Ugly and Gaunt, Book 1, Behold Darkness and Sorrow, by best-selling author Mark Goodwin, in paperback, Kindle, or audio edition from Amazon.com today.
And you mentioned Lehman, and of course there was Bear Stearns, AIG. Together, all those banks, they really posed a systemic risk to the entire global economic system. There were some bullets still in the gun. Some of the bankers were able to take some measures and do some things to sort of pull us back off of the cliff in 2008. I don't know if it would have been better to just let us fall, or if it would have been and take our medicine then, or if they bought us some time. I guess you only know the repercussions of the course of action that they took, and you don't know what would have happened had they taken another course of action. But how does Deutsche Bank and the Italian banks, how would they stack up as far as a systemic risk to the global system?
Well, Deutsche Bank is, like I said, the collapse of Deutsche Bank would be far more important than the collapse of Lehman Brothers, because, as I said, it's the biggest and most important bank in Germany, which is the biggest and most important economy in all of Europe. So Deutsche Bank, the collapse of Deutsche Bank would be far more important systemically than the collapse of Lehman Brothers ever would. And as you mentioned, back in 2008, the central bankers, they could cut interest rates, they could do quantitative easing, they had more they have more weapons at their disposal. But like I mentioned earlier, since March 2008, interest rates have been cut 637 times around the world by central banks, and central banks have purchased $12.3 trillion of assets. Now, we've already got interest rates in negative territory all over Europe. What are the central bankers? And when you get into negative territory, that starts to really hurt the banks. So if you cut interest rates even more to try to help the economy in some way, you do more and more damage to the banks at that point. So we've really reached the limit in terms of what we can do with monetary policy. And yet now this new crisis is coming. I believe it's going to be worse than it ever was before. And it'll be worse here in the U.S. too. We were told that too big to fail would be fixed here. But instead, since the last financial crisis, the too big to fail banks here in the United States have collectively gotten 40% larger. Meanwhile, 14 other banks have totally gone out of existence. So the problem of too big to fail in the United States is now bigger than ever, And then, of course, around the world and in Europe and then in China, they've got a ridiculous debt bubble. In Japan, the Japanese banks are starting to get in big trouble. All over the world, we've got this too big to fail problem. It's all starting to come to fruition all at the same time. And most people have no idea how vulnerable things are and how very serious the situation really is right at this moment.
So we went from too big to fail to too bigger to fail. On your article, 22 signs that the global economic turmoil we've just seen so far in 2016 is just the beginning. You listed some horrific jobs data. Caterpillar, they're closing 5 plants and cutting 670 jobs. Royal Dutch Shell, they're cutting 10,000 jobs. Yahoo, they're cutting 15% of their entire workforce. Johnson & Johnson, 3,000 jobs cut. Sprint, 8% of their workforce. GoPro, 7% of the workforce. And the list just goes on and on. Walmart, Macy's, Aeropostale, JCPenney, Sears, Gap, Finish Line, Kmart. These are the blue chip companies. People think that if they've got a job with somebody like one of these companies, that it's a secure gig. What's going to be the fallout to the rest of the economy from just these job losses that we already know about.
Yeah, well, it's not going to be good. Certainly not. You know, as we're already starting to see, you know, all these layoffs. But you know, if you get laid off from Walmart, that's not that good a paying of a job. But you know, you look at the energy industry, where the, you know, since the last recession, they were the kind of the leading sector for job growth of good paying jobs, and now that's completely reversed and massive layoffs in the energy industry, and those are good paying middle class jobs that we're losing. So you know, it can snowball very quickly, as we saw during the last crisis, where the job losses, you know, people start to lose jobs, and then they're competing with other people who don't have jobs in the, you know, and it just really snowballs. But yeah, you look at Walmart, where they announced the closure of 269 stores worldwide, 154 of them in the United States. When have we ever heard of Walmart closing stores before? It's crazy. But this is where we're at. You know, all of the hard numbers tell us economic downturn is here. You know, you look at the trucking and shipping numbers, you look at the cash shipping index. Month after month after month, we've seen year-on-year declines on the amount of stuff that's being shipped around the country by air, by rail, by truck. It's declining. In terms of real stuff that's being bought and sold and shipped around the country, it's falling. The real economic numbers, the fundamentals are declining. And so, yeah, I don't want people to be fooled by, yeah, if the market goes up one day, oh, we're saved. If it goes down another day, oh, things are horrible. You know, don't just be fooled by the ups and downs of the markets. The real economic numbers, the underlying numbers, are telling us that economic activity is dramatically slowing down all over the planet. And it's not good. And I believe that this is just the beginning.
Michael, where do we go to escape the malaise? I mean, you mentioned gold and silver. What else can we do?
Well, there's different strategies for short, mid, and long term. But for the short term, I believe people need an emergency fund. And that's not the sexiest piece of advice out there. But you look back at 2008 and what happened. You know, all of a sudden the crisis came and the banks started to fail and companies started to lay people off. Because most people are living paycheck to paycheck right now, 63% of all Americans, they didn't have a cushion to fall back on. So they couldn't pay the mortgage, they couldn't pay the bills, and all of a sudden foreclosure skyrocketed. And millions of people went from living a comfortable middle-class lifestyle to essentially being out on the street very, very rapidly. So people need to have an emergency, a cushion, an emergency fund. I recommend at least that can cover at least 6 months of your expenses, because you're going to, when things get tough, you're going to need funds to fall back on. You know, longer term, you know, I am a believer in storing up emergency food and supplies. And, my wife and I don't believe we're going to need them next week or next month, but we believe down the road we are going to need them. And anything you can do to become more independent of the system, whether it's starting up a side business so that if you lose your job, you know, you still have a way to bring in some income at least, you know, or learning how to grow a garden, or anything you can do to become more independent of the system right now, I think is a good thing. And then on a bigger picture scale, and I know this isn't practical for most people right now because they're tied to their job in a particular geographic location, but if you are free to move, if you are able to move, I think it would pay to move away from the population centers, the major population centers, to if you can move to a more rural location. That's what my wife and I were able to do a few years ago. That's what many people are doing. And I think that will be a very wise thing to do as things unravel over these coming years. If you can get into position now, I think that would be good.
Yeah, and I've always told folks, even if you work in the city and you're tied to a city for work or family or whatever the reason is, if you can get to the outskirts of that and just have a little bit longer commute, a lot of times it's going to be a big payoff. I know traffic's horrible and nobody likes to be in it, but there's going to be a big payoff. A lot of times, you're going to get more property for your money, and you're going to at least be, you're not going to be in the center of the chaos when it breaks. So anything you can do, just little steps, a lot of times are will be enough, you know. And I think that's great advice. The emergency fund, of course, for the folks at GoPro, Macy's, Aeropostale, JCPenney, Sears, Gap, and Caterpillar, Yahoo, and Johnson & Johnson, you know, they're, I'm sure, right now wishing that, you know, maybe they hadn't got the biggest package on of the cable TV, and they would have got the basic, and they would have clipped coupons, and they would have drove a beater instead of taking out a big loan for a brand new car that lost 10% of its value when they drove it off the lot. So I think that's really, really great advice. And now you also wrote a book on prepping. Can you tell us about that book and just give us a couple of tips from there?
Yeah, it's called Get Prepared Now, and I co-authored it with a survivalist expert named Barbara Fix. And so the first half of the book is kind of the whys of getting prepared, and then the second half of the book is kind of the hows. But I was going to just add one thing on to what I was saying earlier. Even if you're stuck in a city where that's where your employment is, you know, if you're able to have somewhere to go in the case of emergency, whether it's just a cabin in the woods, or you've got relatives that you know that you've got it set up that you can go out there, or, you know, and or you could, you know, jump in a motorhome or, you know, whatever, and take it out to your relatives, or, you know, but just have a plan of somewhere that you can bug out to, even if right now you're stuck in a urban area where you've got that's where your work is. But then when things get crazy, you've got somewhere to go. I think that's really, really good. And then, of course, I've also got my novel, The Beginning of the End. It's available on Amazon.com as well. And that kind of paints a picture of what I think things are going to be look like as things kind of unfold and get crazy in this country over the years ahead. So, you know, there's economic collapse and chaos in there, and also natural disasters, and there's so much about the Big Brother police state. So it's fiction, but there's all kinds of truth bombs throughout the entire book. And so, you know, it's great for, you know, to give to someone who needs to wake up or whatever. And then, of course, my new book is going to be coming out, I believe, sometime in March. It's all done. It's all ready to roll. We just got to, you know, pull the trigger on it. And so it looks like it's going to be in March. And so I want people to get excited for that as well.
Fiction's great. I think that's great, and it's one of those things that as you're reading it, you're putting yourself in the mind of the character, and you're asking yourself, how well prepared am I to get through the situation that the protagonist might be having to survive at that particular moment, and it forces you to look at your preps and your skills and the things that you've been able to put together as a prepper to think about. How would you fare in that situation? So I think that's great, and I'm really, really glad that you wrote that. Michael, tell everybody where they can go to find your work and the best way to purchase your books.
Yeah, my websites are theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or if you just go to Google and type in the economic collapse, it'll be the first result that comes up that's primarily focused on economic and financial issues. Then I also have endoftheamericandream.com, which focuses on a wider variety of issues. And then you can find all of my articles gathered together, plus some of the most important headlines of the day, along with some guest articles by other authors. All that can be found on themostimportantnews.com, which I'm starting to work on more and promote more. And so those are the three websites. And then on all three websites, you can find links that will take you directly to Amazon.com, where you can get the books that I was just talking about.
Michael, thanks again for making time for us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on again.
Get prepared before disaster strikes. PrepperRecon.com offers Molly-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, tough strip bandages, and so much more. Kits are available in OD Green, Coyote, Black, and ACU. $99 includes shipping. Go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.